Good afternoon, this is Paul Sigrist for the National Park Service. Today is Sunday, April 30th, 1995. I'm in Greenfield Center in upstate New York with George Mueller. Mr. Mueller came from Norway in 1924 when he was 16 years old. In fact, he turned 16 on the voyage to America. I may also say for the sake of a tape that we're not very far from a wood stove and that may pick up some sounds. And also there are various family members in other rooms in the house and we may hear them on the recording also. Mm-hmm. Mr. Mueller, let me ask you what your birth date is. When were you born?
I was born March 20th, 1908.
And where in Norway were you born?
That was... It was a little different from the village of Fevik, a little bit east, or was there maybe three quarters of a time walk from Fevik and over to where I was born.
What was the name of the area where you were born?
Yeah, Bukkehavn. It's called Bukkehavn.
Can you spell that?
Bukkehavn. Bukker. Bukker. Haven.
And what was your name when you were born? What is your name in Norwegian?
Georg. Georg, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it spelled the same way as George?
Yeah, there's no E on it over there, and it's pronounced Georg, and he has pronounced George. I don't like George's name, but that's how I grew up, Georg.
And do you have a middle name?
Yeah, Lawrence.
Can you Lawrence?
Lawrence, yeah.
And is that how it was said in Norwegian, Lawrence?
Lawrence, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did your mother ever tell you anything about your birth?
You know, I even had a second name. It was called after my uncle, and my name is also Stilo. It's something with the German side.
Stilo.
Yeah, Georg Lawrence Stilo.
How do you spell Stilo?
S-T-I-L-O.
And that's named after an uncle?
Yeah, my father's oldest brother that went down with the boat in them sailboat in going from Norway to England.
Well, that's interesting.
They went down. It's never so nobody ever never found a boat or anything.
Do all Norwegian men get three names when they're born? Like you have?
No. Quite few has two names. For instance, Georg Lawrence. That's it. But my uncle at that time, he had Stilo also, and that's how they gave it to me. Yeah.
Did anyone in your family ever tell you anything about when you were born?
Oh my! My father. Yeah, my father had come home from America, and that's why it took 5 years between me and my brother, because my father had gone out to Montana. He wanted to take land there. My mother didn't want to go to Montana because she was scared of the Indians over there. So she didn't dare to go over that way. So they never went to Montana.
Why did your father go to America in the first place?
Lack of work, supporting. He was a seaman, and he didn't do what his two older brothers did. They had some rich relatives in Kristiansand, Norway, and they said you guys can come to Kristiansand and you can live with us the whole time that you study. And that was about 6 years to learn to be a cabin maker, a real cabin maker in them days.
Huh. What year did your father first go to America?
He probably, when he first went, he was probably only about 19, 20 years old. And he was born in 1880. So he was about maybe 20 years old.
What was his name?
Frederick.
Frederick.
And that was all.
And tell me a little bit about your father's personality. What was he like as a person?
Well, he comes strict, quite strict. Mm-hmm. My mother was a super lady. Her and I, when he went back to America, I was soon born, he went back to America, and he went down to Montana, I think, but my mother didn't want to go there. So then, after about almost 5 years, he came back home, and then my brother was born. That's why there was such a big jump between me and my brother.
You said that your father was strict. Do you have a story about that reflects how strict he was?
Yeah, he could look at me pretty tough, and maybe I think it even happened, and he thought, oh yes, I remember it now. Some of his money had disappeared, but it was on a corner shelf home, and then he had put some money there, and then he thought I had taken him. So I said, I told him, no, I haven't taken no. Whether he found the money, most likely, because I didn't hear any more about it, so most likely he found the money.
And how did he punish you?
Oh, yeah. I have a little bit on that. He could get pretty tough, and he could take a piece of wood like this and bang my rear end, and I remember my mother saying something to him, and I was probably 8, 9 years old at that time, and she said, "Du må ikke slå gutten på den måten," and that means you must not hit the boy that way. Yeah.
Do you know how your parents met?
They come from approximately the same area. And there was a little town over that way, east and Fevik, a little bit west, and then that's how it is with the young people. They get to be 18 years old or so, and then they go out a little bit with girls, and then his father again, my father's father, he was a sailmaker. He made sails for the sail ships in them days, And he started drinking.
Mm-hmm. Your grandfather started drinking.
Drinking, and that was towards the end of him.
What do you know about your grandfather's business as a sailmaker?
Oh, I guess he was A1, good sailmaker.
Do you know how they made sails back then?
They had a great, great big house. And the second floor was all open like that, and that's where they were sitting on the floor and sewing with heavy thread, sewing the sails together for
and
the boat.
What kind of fabric did they use to make the sails?
Some tough stuff. I don't know what it was. Some tough stuff.
What was your mother's name?
Olga Maria.
Olga Maria,
yeah.
And what was her maiden name before she was married?
Or Nonsen.
Can you spell that, please?
Oh, my. Because or is two A's together in them days. And then it was changed a little bit to an A with a round thing like that. That also was pronounced or. What was the question you asked?
The question was your mother's maiden name.
Oh, yeah, that was or Nonsen. You want me to spell it?
Spell it, please.
Or,
yeah.
See, there was an O. See, when you fix it up like that, then it's pronounced O. Or Nonsen. O-N-O-N-S-E-N. That's
and,
all.
And what do you know about her background?
Yeah, her father was a sailor all his life. And he was 10 years older than his wife, my grandmother. And they had quite many children, maybe 8, or maybe around there. And then he was on the ocean all the time. And then his brother, younger brother, he was the captain on the boat. But Maybe he was far smarter than my grandfather. I don't know. So but then my grandfather was next in line after his board of being captain.
So it was your grandfather's brother who was the captain of the ship?
Yes, my grandfather's brother.
And your grandfather was a sailor. He was a common sailor.
Yeah, but he went down from Arendal, a city by the name of Arendal, to the east. That's where I think he usually got his jobs. And whereas we lived in Fearing between Arendal and Grimstone, I think quite a few went to Grimstone to get jobs on the boats.
What was your mother's personality like?
Oh, A1. I'll never forget her.
Is there a story that you remember about your mother from when you were a little boy?
Yeah.
Something you'd like to tell us about your mother?
Mm-hmm.
What?
I remember my father was in America, and of course my mother and I, we had such a super-duper good time when I think of it. I didn't know that I had a special mother at that time, but I found it out in later years. But anyway, the time went on, of course, and then there was no work, and it was the end of World War One. But anyway, I can't just make that. But then.
What kinds of things did you enjoy doing with your mother when you were a little boy?
Oh, I can remember going to different in the neighborhood there. And there was many people from my grandmother and grandfather time, and then we used to go visiting, and maybe on Sunday afternoon visiting the old people had a cup of coffee maybe and so forth, and then I can remember them saying to my mother, Can we go home now, Mama? Can't we go home now, Mama? I remember saying, they're back in a few minutes, no, then we're going to go home. And I was happy. I liked the home best. Wherever I went, I liked to be home best of all.
What kinds of chores did your mother do around the house?
All kinds of chores. And even outside cleaning and so forth, my father was in America, yeah. And she used to clean outside, and she, I think maybe she had a little garden too, I think so. And then of course, I had two older sisters, and they started to help her with the housework and so forth. Yeah, and my older sister was 4 years older than the next one. Was 2 years, and the one 2 years one live over in the Norwegian home over here, west a little bit, yeah. And then my older sister died about a year ago.
I see. Tell me what kind of house you lived in when you lived
just a little house with a gable like that. The house that we owned. There was just a little bit of house, but big enough for us and my mother. But then I remember when my father came home, and then he sold it, and then they went to rent because they thought maybe it was getting little too small for the family, so they rented a place called Trolldalen. Troll is a troll, yeah. Troll, you know, funny, yeah. Yeah. So they was up a little bit closer to the ocean. We lived there maybe 1.5 years. And then I remember that their son was going to come home from America, and we had to move, maybe after about 1.5. And then we moved from Trolldalen to a place called Eskedal. That was much near Grimstad City, but also way far out in the country. But I was probably...
What do they build houses out of? How do they make houses in
wood? Wood, planks, one on top of another, and they cork them and so forth. And then they put maybe, if they could afford it, After a while, they put paneling on the outside and so forth. And then they had this stove, something much smaller than that. But that's how we kept warm.
What kind of a floor do they have in the houses in
Norway? Yeah, in them days, it was quite heavy floors. Maybe even a good inch or maybe inch and a quarter or so. But there was only that one single.
But they were wooden planks?
Yeah, maybe about that wide. And they were nailed to, into the whatever, beams.
What kind of a roof did they have?
Just like that, that's all.
A pointed gable, but what was the roof made out of?
Yeah, the tile. I mean, they were made out of wood and then tile. You know what I mean, tile? They're tile like this.
Like a scooped tile?
Yeah, one after another, maybe about that long, and then... And like this, and they one fell into the other, and it lasted maybe 100 years.
How did you light the inside of the house?
lamps, most people had a lamp hanging from the ceiling, and then I can remember one. My father had come home, I think, and then. The it slipped through there. It was not like that. It was this thing there, and then that slipped through and banged down on the floor and broke the whole thing. And I'm seeing.
What kind of a lamp is this?
The oil.
Oil.
Kerosene.
Where did the oil come from?
They came from the warm countries.
You went and bought the kerosene.
Oh, yeah.
You bought it.
That Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How did you keep the house warm?
Well, we had a little stove, maybe half of that.
Parlor stoves?
Yeah, maybe half of that. A little bit more than half, maybe. And that kept nice and warm. Yeah.
Did you have running water in your house?
No.
Where did the water come from?
That came from a thing called a brunn. A brunn maybe made by Hendig. And then stones, there were makers in them days.
Can you spell Brunn for me?
Brunn,
B-R-U-N. And that's a N-N. Well, what we would
call
a well.
Yeah, and that maybe, but like that. You could get a ladder down there. Once in a blue moon, you had to clean it. I remember after I'd been in America and came home, I had to take out all the water and clean the bottoms and so forth. Yeah, once in a while I did that.
Did you have a bathroom in your house?
No bathroom. The bathroom was outside. There was no such thing for ordinary people. It was only people in Kristiansand, cities. I hadn't seen a bathroom since before I came to Oslo in 1924, when the other kid and I was going to go to America.
So when you were in Oslo, it's the first time you saw a bathroom.
There was Christiania in them days.
Christiania. Did you have animals when you were growing up?
My grandmother had a cow and a pig and chickens. But when we moved to Eskedal, we had a pig there and some chickens, but no cow. That we never owned or our own.
But your grandmother had a cow.
My grandmother had a cow.
Is that your mother's parents or your father's parents?
My mother's.
Your mother's. What do you remember about your mother's parents? What sticks out in your mind about them?
He's the one that was a sailor.
He was a sailor.
She took care of the cow, milking the cow and so forth. I can see her before me. And then of course, when we came to grandmother, I suppose once in a while we could get a cup of milk. Otherwise, we couldn't get milk. There was very, very few cups of milk that I had when I was growing up. And my sister said the same thing to me. Her and I, we liked milk. My older sister didn't like milk. So that was all right for them. But we couldn't get a cup of milk.
Can you name all your brothers and sisters for me?
Yeah, I won't tell you one thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
One thing. That we had one egg once a year for Easter. One egg.
Why were milk and eggs so scarce?
Because people in general, ordinary working people, didn't have the money for it. And there was half a dozen kids. Couldn't have it.
Mm. What other kinds of food did you eat in Norway?
Once in a blue moon, my mother could could send me to the store and buy a little bit of meat so we could make shutkaka, we used to call it. That was meat cakes with little flour or whatever, but very, very good. And then she used to cook potatoes.
What was the name in Norwegian of the meat cake?
Shutkaka.
Can you spell that?
K-J-E-T-T-K-A-K-E-R, Chicago.
And this is a meat and flour, or how did she make
them? She put a little bit of, what do you make bread from?
Flour,
little bit of that, and then she mixed it up and put something else or whatever, and then she fried them. But we had to wait for the time come to eat because we couldn't take any of that. Boy, when I think of it, when I think I came to America, my father said, "Well, aren't you gonna have another cup of milk?" I thought, "Can I have another milk? And egg?" You can eat all the eggs you want. What? Can eat all the eggs I want, drink all the milk I want? What kind of country is this? Oh, I thought it was great here in America. Oh, I thought it was wonderful.
Tell me what religion your family was.
Are you sure? They were the Protestants. Lutherans.
Was there a church in your town?
There was small churches, maybe even two. One was Pentecostal, I think. And when I was home 8 or 9 years ago, I liked the Pentecostal church best. So I used to go there, and once in a while I sent some little money home, and they sent say hello to George and Georg from all over, they say. Oh, everyone in the church, hello to me.
Who was more religious, your mother or your father?
Well, my father used to come home from work and clean a little bit up, and then go out preaching some. My mother was the most honest about his religion.
Do you remember any prayers in Norwegian?
Yeah.
Can you say a prayer for us on tape in Norwegian?
Yeah, I can say it. Father vår, du som I himmelen, helget vår ditt navn, til kommet rige. Skje din vilje, som I himmelen, takk på jorden. Gi oss I dag vårt daglige brød, forlat oss for skyld, som vi forlater våre skyldnere. Led oss ikke I fristelse, men frels oss fra det onde, til riket ditt. Makten og æren I evighet. Amen. My mother taught me that when I was 3 years old, 3-4 years old.
And what does it mean?
Oh, son. To transfer that all to English, Arthur means, what, my father, what? Means, in English?
Well, no, you don't have to do the whole thing, but what are you praying for? Oh, yeah.
Can you change the name? My father was I'll change it. My father art in heaven. My father who art up in heaven.
Is that the Lord's prayer?
Yeah. Right. This. Okay. Hallowed be thy name, and so
right.
Thy kingdom come, so thy will be done. Exactly.
And your mother taught you that as
well. Yes, she did. A little bit of a kid.
Were there any other ways that you practiced your religion at home?
I could stand by the window and look out there, maybe in wintertime, snow was snowing like crazy, and but she used to tell me wonderful stories about the Bible, from the Bible. Oh, yes. Very, very good Bible teller to me.
Can you tell me how they celebrate Christmas in Norway?
Yeah. Then we went out in the woods. When we were old, big enough, so we could go out in the woods and get a tree. And then we take that home, and my mother and my two older sisters, they used to make it look nice with the things that they put away for the next year again, like that.
Then did you have to go to church for Christmas?
No, in them days, I think that they came to be a little more, because Christmas Eve, that was the people's family's home that night, that evening. And we had bought presents for one another and so forth and so on. And that was their night home. The next day, early in the morning, and then that was maybe a little bit ahead of me. That they got up early in the morning, maybe it was dark, and went to church early, first day of Christmas.
Is there a Christmas present that you received as a child that you remember?
Oh boy. You know, there wasn't much money in our house, you know, for presents. And then when it came to that, but I remember all day, they make special good cookies. Oh, were they ever good. Oi, oi, oi. And we were allowed to get a few eat, you see, and then the others were put away for Christmas time, you know.
Tell me about what you remember of the World War I period, 1914 to 1918. Yeah. What sticks out in your mind about that time?
See, 14, and in 1914, yeah. I was 6 years old. Of course, you know, we didn't pay so much attention to it, but as we grow older and so forth.
How was your family affected by the war going on in Europe?
That First World War?
The First World War.
Well, I can never remember that we were so hungry that there wasn't something to eat. And I used to go, there was a brook running through the land there and into the ocean. And the trout used to swim up there. And I, way back when I was 6, 7 years old, I used to go and set lines like this with a hook on there, and I go find also underneath stones, and I put it on the hook, and after a couple of hours, usually there was a trout hanging there. I'll never forget it.
Did you go to school in Norway?
Yes, 7 years.
How old are you when you start school?
7 years.
And how long do you go?
7 years.
You go for 7 years.
Got us go 7 years. And you know, we were so stupid, those kids, that we, yeah, no, you're free for the slavery. That was the saying between ourselves, those kids, boys, I can't remember the girls saying it, but we said, yeah, no, you're free for the slavery. It was a slavery. I didn't care about anything. I wanted to be a carpenter. Mother had imprinted into my mind that I was going to be a carpenter. And then she bought me nails, and there was an old hammer or something. There was a wooden step outside, and I used to bang that for the nails. And she showed me, I suppose. And then that was my life, to be a cabinet maker. So then I couldn't get work, you know. When I got 14, I got a job in the bakery. Oh, a few crowns, next to nothing. And then after about 2 years, almost 2 years, working there, and cutting the wood for the bakery, and delivering bread here, far away, up and down, hills all over, But,
do you remember some of the things that you built when you were learning to become a carpenter? What were some of the things that you built?
Well, I was getting pretty good in making frames out of old cutout things. Yeah.
Like picture frames.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were all fancy. And I was sitting there with a saw with that high up and down, and then over that much.
Yeah, about 2 feet.
Yeah, like that. And then I used to go, and then I had to move a little bit. I sat on a thing, and then here, then go like that. See? Yeah.
Now, were you able to be apprenticed to a carpenter at some point?
Oh, maybe that was the reason that I came to America. And if somebody had started, you know, some carpenter or carpenters had started something, and then they said to me, "If you will teach you how to be carpenter, but you gotta keep this place clean, and when we come in the morning, we gotta be clean, so forth." But there wasn't anything. And this other kid and I, I can't learn anything here. What are we going to do? So my father had gone to America, and almost all the other fathers in the village, they had gone to America, and here was plenty of work. And then so this other kid, and he was almost a year older than me. He had somebody build him a toolbox in Norway. And then he had a couple of things, maybe a hammer or something. Okay, let's go to America then. So then he had the easy way to get money, because they had more than us, and they could get more money easier. It was $125 to go to America that time on the boat. And then it wasn't easy for me, but anyway. So
what wasn't easy for you?
To get that $125.
How did you do it?
Yeah, I suppose my mother wrote to America or me, and so he was gonna borrow money from somebody he knew, and send it home to me so I could go with Erling. Us two could go to America.
Where was your father living in America?
Brooklyn.
He was living in Brooklyn. And what was he doing for a living in Brooklyn?
He was doing work in the shipyards. Mm-hmm.
Had he done that kind of work in Norway?
No. He could have gone to these rich people in Kristiansand, like his two brothers. They'd done it for 6 years. But no, I didn't even want to be a carpenter. So well, what do you want to be then? The rich people said. They were maybe uncles and aunts to my father. He wanted to be a cook, and we want to learn to be a cook. So he said he could go out on the ocean and be his own boat, just make food for the sailors on the boat. And so they come out there, they told me the story, and then of course the bad weather could set in, and if they wasn't in a hurry to do something about it, and then something bad could happen. And sure enough, one day the boat go this way, go that way, and then all the pots and pans came off and fell down on the deck, or in the floor in there. And then after that, he got sick of that job. After going maybe 6 years to learn the trade, he got sick of it and came home, quit, and came home, went to America.
Uh-huh. When you were growing up in Norway, now, of course, you had a father, and he was in America, and he was back. He visited back when you were about 5 years old. Remember, your father came back from America to Norway.
Yeah, that's right? Correct.
But then he went back to America after that, yes or no?
Yeah, yes, he did.
He did.
As far as I can remember, he didn't stay home, and he worked in the shipyard for a while home.
But when you were in Norway, as a, you know, growing up, what did you know about America? How did you think about America?
Except for a great land. A great, great land, and maybe I had somebody told me in America you can drink milk and you can eat eggs. And so forth. No, there wasn't. Couldn't do things like that over there. Bread, piece of bread, and go into my mother and say, I'm hungry, and she was making a piece of bread, maybe homemade. It was homemade. It was special good. But anyway, we lived mostly on bread, with a little bit of margarine on, and a little tiny little bit of sugar on there. That was it.
And you'd make a meal out of that.
That was a meal.
What was the name of your friend who went with you to America?
Oh, Erling Samuelsen.
Can you spell his name,
please? Yeah, Erling, E-R-L-I-N-G, something just about like that. Yeah. And then S-A-M, Sam, U-E-L-S-E-N, Samuelsen. Yeah.
And was he... Why did he want to go to America?
His father also had gone to America, but his father was a learned man, and he was in the shipyard in them days when plenty of work during the war, First World War. Then he was an architect for the boats. So he had maybe twice as much pay as my father. So they were rather well-to-do compared to us. But he was laid off too. Everybody was laid off. So they just about all of them went to America.
But you said before, the whole town, all the fathers had gone to
America. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. How did your mother feel about you going to America?
Somehow, we must have gotten that into my head. Then the other kid and I, he was maybe almost a year older than me, but that we were going to go to America. And sure enough, oh, yeah. Then, of course, he had gotten his money from his father. I don't know, his father had the money, but maybe he borrowed it and sent it home to him. And I was waiting. And the day come closer and closer. One day or 2 days was left. They had to go to Arendal and pay for the ticket. Then they could go to Oslo and take the boat to America. Then... Then time went by, and no money, couldn't go. So Aunt Unine, she heard that an elderly lady over there, her youngest boy had gone to America also, together with his brother. And then she had heard that old lady had gotten a big check from her youngest son that had gone to America. And that just the 500 crowns, that's what we needed. Antonin went over there to that lady and asked if he could borrow so that he'd give it to me for the time being, and so that I could go down and pay for a ticket. Sure, here it is. Here's the money. Oh, so the day after the money comes. So if it was the same day that I had gone to Arendal, the mailman come with the money. So I went right back and gave to her, and she gave to her. So right away we paid it.
Paid it right off.
Yeah.
What was the name of the aunt? You said you aunt Tur... Your aunt who was talking to the old lady, you said her name twice, and I just want to make sure I get the spelling right. Aunt Tour something.
Yeah, was that when they borrowed the money?
The aunt who went over to ask the lady if she could
borrow
the money.
Oh, yeah, they were aunt, tante is aunt.
You're saying tante.
Yeah, tante Unine. She was Uncle Christian and Uncle Christian and my Bertha Onans, and they were brother and sister. So Unine was Uncle Christian's second wife. The first wife had died.
And her name is spelled how? Unine. How do you spell
Unine? O N O N I N-E.
And Tanta would be T-A-N-T-A.
Yeah.
Tanta.
E on the end.
What did you pack to take to America?
My birthday was coming on. It did happen on the boat, two or four days before I landed. My boat, some water had packed in a little present for me, but I wasn't allowed to open that. But of course, there was something hard in the end of this packet, and I was wondering, but I couldn't open it. Something soft, so cold. My birthday came, I was allowed to open it up, and there was a slips. Like you have near, that's a slips in Norway.
Like a necktie.
Yeah, a strict one. They strict them.
Straight.
Strict is two sticks, two point like, and they sit like that, and then they make a thing like. Well, anyway.
Like woven somehow.
Woven. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then.
What about before you left? What did you pack to take with you to America?
I had to have a new shirt, I remember, because then I had a nice tie to put on, so that could have, it would look nice when I landed. And we took a bath, the daughter kid and I, we took a bath before the next day when we went, and then I never forget, we came to Oslo. We went on in Christiania at that time. So we got into a hotel, and we got to stay there overnight. And I think we stayed there two nights. But anyway, compared to the poor people out there where I come from, way south on there.
What did you think when you saw the ship that you were about to get on? Had you been on a big ship before?
No.
So what were you thinking when you saw the ship that you had to board?
Yeah, Erling and I, the next day, we went down to the ocean, the dock, in Oslo or Christiania. And we saw the boat, I'm quite sure. And then... It wasn't so terribly big, not that boat, but it was rolling plenty and diving up and down like that.
What was the name of the boat?
Bag and Shoe.
And I should have asked you earlier, do you remember saying goodbye to your mother?
Yeah, you can be sure about that, but you know something? It was just like going away for a couple of days, and it took 9 years before I saw her again. 9 years. When I come to America, so, I can't have a job. Job? My father didn't care so much. You just came over. Hold it. No, I came over to get a job. I got to have a job. So we went to some place down 14th Street in Hamilton Avenue. There was a Norwegian and his brother. They had a shop there, and they did some shoe stores or whatever it was. Yeah, it was shoe stores. But anyway, so they had had two nephews working for them, and they were sort of tough in their mouth, and they answered back to the boss and so forth. I couldn't understand, and so they had quit the and gone to Chicago, and sure enough, all right. So they guess they said to my father, "I will try." Within 2 or 3 days in America, I had a job already.
You were working at the shoe store. This was at the shoe store.
Yes, shoe store where they built the stores for the big company. And then...
How much did you get paid for your first job?
That's almost a joke. But I had to pay $4 for the room, and for a little bit of room, my father, we had two beds, so forth, $4 a piece. And then He gave, the boss gave me $11 a week, and I had to pay for food, and I just barely squeezed by. Pay for the room and enough food. But food was cheap in them days.
Let me get you back on the boat and get you over to America before we talk about this.
Yeah.
You got the Bergensfjord, that yeah. was the ship. You picked that up in Christiania.
Oh, what a memory you got. It was amazing.
And how long did it take to go from Oslo to New York?
Yeah, I think it was 12 days.
And did the ship stop anywhere else?
It's the first stop was way up in north of America there, and it belonged to there was Canada. Canada owned that city, but now I don't remember the name of it, but it was right out on the point there. That's where the big boats used to come in. And then, we wasn't allowed to get off the boat. And then we went a little bit, from there on, we went down to, I think it was Stavanger, and then we stopped there, and there was Norway, of course, and then we... They had to take off some stuff from America to put on land there, see? And I remember our boys, they had come. They was going to America, like us. And they must have had a little money. And they threw money out to the boys on the dock there. Yeah, and they ran for a few pennies like that. I'll never forget it.
What else sticks out in your mind about the ship? Do you have any stories that you like to tell about being on the ship?
Yeah, here's the rear end, and here's the bow. Erling and I was... we used to go all the way in the back. And when the bow went down...
Keep talking, I'm just going to fix your microphone here. Okay, yeah. So when the bow went down...
The bow went down and the stern up. And we used to like to go back there when it's on the stern because, go off the water. And the propeller make a terrible lot of noise and shake in the back end of the boat. But we didn't think about anything wrong, but... But I suppose something could have, but it was rolling and so forth. I'll never forget it, that enormous shaking when the stern went up above the water with the propeller going fast like that.
Can you describe for me where you slept on the ship?
Yeah, we were, I think there was enough. I think there was eight guys in that little place. And my mind was first, then another one here, and that was right around these three walls there. And then was an old man, and he was even a cousin to my mother. And he was, and I guess she said, take good care of my boy, and so forth. But anyway,
there were eight men in this.
Eight, but
what kind of beds did you have?
A piece of wood like here, and then up a little bit like that,
like stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, two here, two there, two. You know. Well, how could there be more than six then? Because there was a door. Well, I don't know. I thought there was eight, but anyway,
maybe a porthole in your bedroom?
Happened there in my room, my bed. There was one, and I could open it and look out, and I could see boat going fast along like that.
Where did they feed you on the ship?
Open a nice dining room, A1 food, much fancier than we ever seen.
What do you remember about
milk? Just like we could drink all the milk, all the eggs we wanted. And good food, and good dinners, everything, A1. It was amazing. And when I came to America, it was the same thing. The Norwegians, they had a long, long room, much longer than from here to there. And then
it's about there was 25 feet.
Yeah, and there was the table maybe was that wide, and we used to sit on both sides.
Did they feed you any kind of food that you had never seen before?
There was usually all Norwegian stuff, but very, very good, and lots of it. Meat, we could hardly ever get meat, but there were meat, all kinds of, and cake, and coffee, and milk. It was like a king's place compared to the way we grew up.
You said you celebrated your 16th birthday on the ship.
I sure did.
How did you celebrate your birthday on the ship?
Oh, I opened a package. That
And that had the necktie.
They had a necktie, and what else?
A necktie, and you told me.
Yeah. Well,
I forgot.
Necktie and
socks? No. Cookies. Food.
Candy. Some very good Norwegian candy, couple of things, and I hadn't opened the package.
I
wasn't allowed to, and I didn't do it, but there wasn't a lot of candy. The candy was expensive, but anyway, I.
What about Erling? What's he doing on the ship?
Erling. Didn't do any. Well, he didn't get seasick, and he one day I was seasick. I was up on the deck there vomiting, you know, and so forth, and for a couple of days, and then one day Erling came up. Hey, Georgi said that we're gonna have salt fish for dinner. Salt fish was the best thing we could get in Norway. Salt fish and potatoes, of course. See. So then I had just been over on the side of the ship and vomited, and he comes up with a big plate with salt fish and potatoes in there. And you know, I tasted so super duper. No more seasickness. No more. It was all gone. And I'll never forget that dinner that my friend came up with for me. Yeah, I'll never forget it.
Did you see the captain of the ship while you were on the
ship? There was what's that? No, that was after we got married and went home and came back. Then there was a captain's dinner for force.
So
he was there.
That's a different voyage. That was a later
voyage. That was going to go home. That different, many years later. 9 or 10 years later. But then he was there. The boss, I mean the captain. I'm sure he was there. But he didn't act like a big shot or anything, but he was there. And
someone had to be driving the boat, so he must have been there.
Yeah, he was there. And nice people. They were so nice.
Were they all Norwegians traveling? Were they mostly Norwegian people?
Yeah, unless that they had been out earlier. They had some Norwegians and gone to Norway. But because they those boats were packed all the time, going to, all the people going to America.
And you said earlier how much the voyage cost. I just would like you to repeat that.
$125.
And how much in Norwegian money, how much is
that? Yeah, there was probably about almost 600.
And how did you get your steamship ticket? Where did you have to go to get that?
Arendal. Or in the city of Arendal, we used to go by boat from our place along the coast to go Arendal. And there you could buy it. You had the money and put it down there and you'd write out the ticket. Not like that. It's funny thing with money. You got money, you can do a lot of things.
Right, right. Do you remember seeing the Statue of Liberty when the ship came into New York Harbor?
Yeah, we were told there's Statue of Liberty. Oh, Statue of Liberty, yeah. Oh, yeah. Statue of Liberty, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was right there in the where the boats go.
Yeah. Then tell me what happened to you. The ship came into New York Harbor.
Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And how did you get to Ellis Island from the ship?
Yeah. Well, we came in on a Sunday. And then this little boat from the place, what was the name?
Like a little ferry boat or something.
Yeah.
Ellis Island.
Ellis Island. They didn't work. That little boat didn't work on Sundays. So we had an extra night on the boat. And then early next morning, that boat came and we were there and we came to a round thing like this and there was somebody, maybe more than one, standing there, yeah, with writing paper we had to have somebody from 100 feet away maybe. We could see them though if we looked good enough. That was my father. He was standing waiting for me to get my papers okay so that I could go. And then they ask a question, do you have, is there someone now waiting for you over there? Yeah. Okay. Oh, who is that? I guess we had to point them out and so forth. And sure enough, here's your papers, you can go. So we walked over there, sure, there's my father standing there waiting for me. And then we got off and we got into South Manhattan there and we went down a whole lot of stairs down to the subway and then we went on, the subway train came and then we went in there, the open shop by itself. We go in there, my father and I, yeah, and started up again. And then we're going to go over to Brooklyn, underneath the water, deep underneath the water. Well, says my father, yeah, we're in the ocean now. I couldn't understand. How can the thing go in the ocean? A place like that, we didn't get wet or anything. And it could go. I didn't know anything about all over New York today with the subways. I mean, yeah.
How did you feel when you saw your father? When you recognized your father?
It wasn't so long, you know. Before and see now, she's 24. He probably had been here maybe a good year or so.
So you had seen him just.
Yeah.
Not so long ago. Not
long ago.
At Ellis Island, did you have to undergo any kind of medical examinations?
Yes, there was. They looked at our hair, so we had any lice or anything. And so then they did in Oslo too. They had to look in the hair, see if there was anything there. Or so when they came to the air, they had to do the same thing. And as far as I remember, at least they didn't tell me that they saw anything in my hair. They didn't tell me that anyway. But there wasn't. I was clean. I was okay.
And did they ask
you know what I can remember? I think that was. Yeah, that was when we came over. There was two men, a girl, were going to America. Somehow they had gotten to one another, and sure enough, they got caught. As far as I know, they had to get married before they could come to America.
And they caught them at Ellis Island.
They caught them at Ellis Island.
Aha. We're going to pause for a second, and I'm going to put another tape in the machine, and then we'll begin your life in New York.
Oh, yeah, okay.